It's Monday and time for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Getting things together here on the workstation. We've got quite a stack of stuff this morning.
Yeah, we do. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Good to see you, WK and Ken, on this rainy Monday morning. Of course, every morning's been rainier lately, hasn't it?
I was about to say, that's normal.
I was looking at the radar this morning, and it looked like it's just one long line of rain coming all the way down through here. So just training on down through here.
And as we speak, the sun just started shining out
front there.
At least it's beginning to.
All right. I was talking about it.
Everyone get outside real quick. Take a look out your window so you can actually see the sun one more time.
Maybe your minute of sunlight today. Oh, it is good to have you listening to us this morning. We're glad that you're here. And if you'd like to give us a call and talk to us here at the studio this morning, our number is 862-9977 locally, or 1-800-375-0056.
This is The Life You've Always Wanted. Last week, we actually had a lot of comments about last week's show. And last week's show will be on the website later on today. Sorry for the delay in getting it posted. A lot of people called the office asking, where can I get a copy of that? Well, it will be on the website. So for those that had a chance to hear last week and were wanting a copy, it'll be available for download later on today. For those that didn't hear the show, go to Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute, springfieldmfi.com. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a radio page and a radio archive. Click on that, and you're able to listen to the show there, download the shows, etc. SpringfieldMFI.com is also a resource for you. It's amazing how many people have referred their friends and family to Springfield MFI when the friends started talking about marriage having troubles, relationship, parenting, and people remembered, said, you know, go talk to WK. Call Springfield MFI. And we had the Toma ad right before we came on the air. And it's top of mind awareness. When it comes to marriage and families, Springfield Marriage and Family has to be at the top. We appreciate those that have helped. It's an amazing thing. Think about how powerful it is to be able to save someone's marriage just by referring them to someone you know you can trust. And know what you've saved, not only that couple, but that family, those parents, and then grandparents, great-grandparents as the generations go on. That's a powerful thing to be able to say, you know, I helped someone today. That's what we do every day at Springfield MFI. If you have any need, give us a call there at 882-6767 to set up an appointment to come in and speak with someone there. So keep that at the top of your mind.
You know, that June is a month of weddings. A lot of weddings are taking place this month and really all summer. But June primarily, historically, traditionally, has been the wedding month. Now, that's changing. That's changing that October is becoming the wedding month of choice. You might keep that in mind if you're in the process of getting serious in a relationship with someone and you're trying to decide on a wedding date. October in the fall, especially here in the Ozarks, it's really a great month to get married. But this is a month that a lot of minds turn to marriage, turn to weddings. And it's important to think, what are we getting ourselves into here? Now, a lot of people are getting married and they've never asked themselves why. Why am I getting married? You know, I saw a report this morning. I was watching the news. It's talking about a couple from Alabama, Greg and Tina Watson. And you may have caught that on the news as well. Did you see that on the news?
No, I hadn't seen that. What is it?
Greg and Tina Watson were a couple who got married down in Alabama, and their honeymoon was a diving trip to the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia. And just a couple of days after they got there, they were diving off the reef. He was a skilled diver, and she was more of a novice.
Mm-hmm.
He said that she panicked and drowned and went to the bottom. He was in the water with her, and there were other people around, but she drowned. In fact, there was a picture, a snapshot made, that was taken of her laying on the ocean floor. That was in 2003, and now the Australian authorities have charged the groom with murder. And they had her parents, her father and her sister, on, I think it's the Today program.
Uh-huh.
They were interviewing them and asking them, did you see anything unusual as this couple was dating from him toward her? And what was brought out was really that he had a really bad temper and that he tended to be obsessive and that he tended to be jealous and possessive and ask if the bride, if Tina had said anything of concern to any of her family members. Her sister said, no, Tina wasn't like that. She just tried to smooth things over and really pretend that everything was okay. And she wound up dead just off the Great Barrier Reef in Australia.
Mm.
I came across another report. Now, police investigate women with five dead husbands. Her name is Betty Newmar, and she was charged with one count of solicitation of murder in the July 1986 death of Harold Gentry. Now, she's had five husbands from beginning back in the 50s, and now she's about 76 years old now, but they're investigating the death of those other husbands. And so, I'm not trying to raise a big cloud of suspicion here, but what I'm saying is that make sure that you know the person that you're marrying. How well do you know them? How long have you gone with them? If you're getting serious about somebody, I don't care what age you are. If you're in your late teens, early 20s, middle 20s, 30s, 50s, 60s, or 70s, it doesn't matter. How well do you really know this person? And why am I choosing to get married at this time?
I'd also add one other question is,
yeah,
what is your definition of marriage? You know, we've talked so many times on the air about, well, the national statistics are 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Now, the good news is 80% of first marriages last.
Yeah, between 70 and 80%.
Okay. Problem is that remaining 30% divorce, remarry, and divorce again. So the question is, what is your definition of marriage? Now, that may seem like a really silly question, but if we walk down the aisle and you say, take her, take him, till death do you part, how many people have you heard one or the other, either the bride or groom, say, well, maybe? Are we really making the commitments that we're saying we're making before our friends and family? What is our definition of marriage? Is it a marriage of convenience? Or is this meant to be a marriage for a lifetime? And these are important questions to ask before we walk down that aisle. WK, you were telling a story before of a wedding you were getting ready to perform.
Right.
And the groom looked at you and said,
I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I've got other women I want to date.
And this is why the music's going on and the procession started down the aisle.
Procession started down the aisle. And we're fixing to walk out. And he looks at me and says, I don't want to do this. I've got other women I want to date. So I said, well, you better get the bride in here and tell her that. So we went and got the bride, and she was not a happy camper. She was not a happy camper.
I think that's an understatement. You know?
But he really, by being honest, saved her some real heartache by refusing to marry her because he wasn't ready. And I know other couples who have told me after the fact, after they went ahead and got married, and they have gone into counseling, and some have even divorced, and they've told me, I really didn't want to do this, but we'd already spent so much money on it. We'd already made so many plans. So many people had been contacted, had already responded to the invitations. And I really, in my heart of hearts, did not want to do this, but I felt like I couldn't say no. Wow. How do you live with that? How do you go into a commitment not committed? How do you go into a marriage not married in your mind and heart to a person? How do you live with that person? When you say, I didn't want to do this in the first place.
So as we ask all these questions, the reason we ask all these is because marriage is supposed to be a great thing. It is a great thing. Again, like we were discussing last week about choice, that it's our choice. It's my choice whether I choose to marry or not. It's my choice to be happy, to choose to be happy. When we're committing ourselves to another person, that's for a lifetime. And it's not something we should take lightly. So how do we make, from the very beginning, a marriage have the best chance in the world for success? How can we know whether or not we're going to make it? How do we know the secrets? You know, one of the fascinating things is when we're dating, we don't know the other person.
We only know a portion of that person many times.
But while we're dating, what do? We put on our best face. We get together, we get dressed up, put on cologne, makeup. We're trying to show our best foot. But what are we also doing at the same time?
Hiding our flaws.
Ooh.
We hide our flaws. People do that.
So is there a way to know whether or not we're going to make it, or our chance of making it is really good? How do we know that?
Yeah. And if you could know, would you want to know? If you can know if you're going to make it or not, would you want to know? If there's a way to know, would you want to know? And I think most of us would. I think most people would say, yeah, I would like to know if there's a way to know that this marriage is going to make it. I'd like to know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that this is going to crumble under my feet in 2 years, I want to know that. And there are ways to know that. Yeah.
If you'd like to join us in the studio, phone number is 862-9977. 1-800-375-0056 if you're listening via the internet or outside the area.
You know, this program is one of the Ask the Professional programs, and yet this is unlike the other Ask the Professional programs because this is talking about relationship. This isn't talking about necessarily only your money. This isn't talking about what the law says. This isn't talking about what our health is and all those other good programs. But we're talking about the totality of our life, our relationships, what our life is really consisting of. And how we know that we are an individual, we are a strong individual, or maybe we're a dependent individual. You know, a lot of times people, we're talking about getting married this morning, a lot of times people get married to have someone to depend on. A comment by Neil Walsh said, the purpose of relationship is not to have another who might complete you, but to have another with whom you might share your completeness. Now, that's a strong statement, and that's a wonderful statement. Because in order to enter into a lifelong relationship that marriage is intended to be, we've got to be a complete person. We can't find someone that we think is going to complete us or someone to take care of us. Because it is a partnership. It is a relationship of equals. If you think of marriage as a relationship of equals, then it takes away all of this, I've got to have you in my life for you to complete me. I've got to have you in my life to depend on you. Or you need me in your life to depend on me. It works that way as well, many times. And none of those things are effective ways or patterns of relating with each other. They will all end up, many times, most of the time, in a lot of heartache and struggle. So this morning, we all know people that we think, oh man, we hear they're getting married when we find out who they're getting married to. We're like, oh my, I wouldn't put those two people together. I never would have put those two people together.
Dan's over here grinning.
You know, I think we all know that. No, and if it was up to us, if they ask our opinion, should I marry this person?
No, run.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about some reasons why. We can talk about that. We can think about that. In fact, we need perhaps to ask some people that know us really, really well. There's some characteristics, especially, I don't care if we're, again, in our late teens, 20s, 30s. I knew one couple, they're no longer married, but I don't think either one of them are still alive. And this happened some years ago, but they got married after they'd both been married for, I think he'd been married for 40 some odd years. She'd been married like for about the same length of time. The spouses died, they found each other, and they got married. He thought she was a wonderful woman. Beautiful woman, she's a very attractive woman. To talk with her briefly, she appeared to be very sincere, very sweet, and very loving and kind. But after they got married, it was like somebody flipped a switch. And he came to me one day, and he was all scratched up. I said, what in the world happened to you? He said, Mary just exploded. She turned into a woman I have never seen before. We were sitting there eating breakfast. And she just went off on me and attacked me, just raging at him. And he was totally disoriented and dumbfounded. How in the world could this have happened? Okay. And so it doesn't just happen to young couples. That's what I'm saying. This was a couple in their 70s. Just completely dumbfounded him and disillusioned him. And nothing they said or did would work. Because she was going to control him. She was going to dominate him. She was going to make him completely dependent for everything that he thought, felt, said, did, went, no matter what. So they ended up divorcing. But she was extremely verbally and physically abusive. So it's not just the young couples that are having problems in the marriage. It can happen later in life. When we meet people and we don't take time to really get to know them, and what I advise all people to do, regardless of age, is at least date a year. That way you go through every season, you go through every holiday, you go through every family interaction, you find out what they're like with their parents or with their kids, You find out everything as much as you can about them, and you see them in the real context of their life. That's a far cry from knowing somebody 90 days and marrying them. And a lot of people, that's how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff, and I know many people today are thinking also, you know, we can go ahead and get married, and if she doesn't please me or if he doesn't please me, then we can separate and go our separate ways, and no one will be hurt. When people go into marriage and then they divorce, they're always hurt.
Oh, yeah.
There's always hurt.
It always ends badly. Otherwise, it wouldn't end.
Yeah.
It's going to end bad.
Yeah. So, if you're thinking about getting married, and that's how we began this morning, if you're thinking about this, ask yourself why. Why do I really want to get married?
But I'm in love.
Well, love is a great thing. And we all need to love each other more. But love, and the feeling of love, doesn't sustain a marriage. Now, that may sound strange coming from a marriage and family counselor. But the feeling of love doesn't sustain a marriage relationship. That infatuation, that absolute thrill of marriage, the thought of marriage, the first day of marriage, doesn't sustain it. It has to be deeper than that. There has to be roots put down. There has to be more substance and sustenance in the relationship than just the feeling of love. There's a lot of giving in marriage that is demanded and that it takes.
And the love you have when you're first dating and first married is not the same love you have 5 years, 7 years, 15 years down the road.
No, it's not. I know there are people listening this morning who've been married 30, 40, 50 years and can testify that the love they have for each other today is a stronger, sweeter, deeper love than they had on the day of their wedding. And they feel more of a oneness of heart, soul, and mind. And even physically, they feel more of a oneness than they did the first year of their marriage.
Okay, WK, so how do we achieve this then? Because we already know that most people don't walk down the aisle planning on divorce. We don't walk down the aisle to get a divorce.
Most don't. And this isn't a program about gloom and doom. No, we're talking a lot about this, but it's not about gloom and doom. Okay? What we're talking about, though, is that many people have an unrealistic expectation of what marriage is, an unrealistic definition of what marriage is, and that's what you addressed a minute ago, Ken. How do you define marriage? What do you think marriage really is? And they have a lot of unrealistic expectations that set themselves up for a lot of hurt and heartache later on. It takes a lot of work. It takes understanding that marriage is intended, it is designed, it is created by the Creator. It is intended to be a lifetime commitment. From the book of Genesis all the way through the books of the New Testament, marriage is to be one man with one woman for a lifetime. That's how it was created. That's how it was intended. And I know that many people would say, well, that's pretty silly, you know. That's not realistic. But that's
just old. That's just old-fashioned.
That's how it was. That's how it was set up. And there's a lot of thinking. There's a lot of research coming back to monogamy is the best relationship. To have the best relationship, to have the best sex, it's got to be monogamous. And it has to be in a committed relationship intended to last a lifetime. To have the depth of relationship that really fulfills. We need to have that one marriage with that one partner, that one spouse, and stay together, and work together, and do the things, do the work that it takes to grow that relationship. And so, what are some of the questions that we need to ask about marriage, about when we're getting into marriage?
Well, the time to ask them is before you ever get married.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you, if you're thinking about getting married, have you just sat down and ask, where will we live after getting married? Where are we going to live? You know, will the bride work? If she is going to work, for how long? Are there children planned here? How many children do we want to have? Do we want to have any children? How many? How soon? How far apart? Important questions.
I actually know a couple that, after moving to Springfield, he absolutely wanted no kids ever.
Yeah.
And when his wife got pregnant, he took off.
Left.
He left.
Left her.
Left her with a baby. Had no desire to be a dad. Didn't want to have kids.
Did she know that before they got married? You know, that's a good question. If you have kids, how soon does the wife return to work after the babies arrive? How will the kids be disciplined? How will they be fed? How will they be trained? What church will you attend? You know, and if you're attending different churches, theological differences, how are you going to deal with those? How will your roles be different in this marriage? How will you respond to each set of in-laws? That's a big one. Another big one is, where will you spend Thanksgiving and Christmas? Especially if you're younger and you've always spent Thanksgiving and Christmas at your family's home.
Mm-hmm.
And you both have done that. Guess what? You can't be two places at one time. Particularly if the sets of parents live across country from each other. Where are you going to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas? Where are you going to spend that first Thanksgiving and Christmas? And the succeeding ones? You know, how will financial decisions be made? Do we really sit down and talk about money? How financial decisions are going to be made? Who'll write the checks? How much credit debt are we each bringing into this relationship? How will that affect us? How are we going to handle credit?
That's one we're watching. You know, I'm in the business, I'm in real estate, and mm-hmm. I watch couples all the time that get married and go to buy a house, and one has golden credit, the other one couldn't buy a rock. And they had no idea.
Yeah.
Had no idea before they got married that it was that detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
I had one the other day, open house I did, the couple loved it, they had just gotten married, and if they weren't married, she could have bought the house. But now that they're married, neither one of them can buy it because wow. His credit is that bad.
And it took hers down.
Yeah.
Together.
They're seen as one person. Yeah. So if she's there, they know he's there because they're married.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, how are you going to handle credit? I know one couple that they've been married for a few years, but she got a credit card. And she charged up $92,000 on that credit card. And he didn't know anything about it.
Ouch.
And she came to me one day frantic saying, he's going to find out. What am I going to do? I said, the best thing you can do is tell him right now. Don't let him look at a bill and find out. The best way for him to find out is for you to go to him and be honest with him, be truthful with him. But they hadn't agreed on how they were going to handle credit. Or he didn't know. She couldn't handle it. How do you get out of $92,000, almost $100,000 in credit card debt? You know, the average credit debt of families in this country today is $10,000. Average.
Oh, I'd have put it higher than that.
Yeah. And it's getting higher. You know, what about buying a car? Just things like buying a car. What about buying clothes? What's important? Who's going to handle the money? And many times, if you don't agree on who's handling the money, then whoever's going to be in control is going to handle the money. So we are looking at a lot of things here this morning.
We're getting ready to take our bottom half of the hour break. Stay tuned as we get into how can we make a successful marriage? What are the steps? What are the things we need to talk about to make it last forever? We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m. where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce with the second half of the show.
We are back.
We are back.
And this morning we're talking about, why do we get married? How do we make a marriage last? Because we don't get married to get divorced. And what is marriage? Do we really understand what we're doing when we go down the aisle? And we had a lot of discussion this morning about all the things that can happen and go wrong in a marriage. After you walk down the aisle and the surprises that happen. And a lot of times, you know, it seems kind of on the negative side of things. But everything we're talking about, we've all seen people that have been in some situation that was very similar to what we've talked about this morning. And for all of us that are married, we want those that are getting married to have a better chance than we had. We want our kids to have a better chance than we had. No one wants to see their kids get divorced. So how do we go about giving them the best opportunity in the world to have a successful marriage. We're going to talk a little bit more about this coming up. A couple things I also wanted to bring your attention. You know, this is the life you've always wanted, and it is brought to you every week by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is professional counseling based on Christian principles that provide real-life solutions to all of Southwest Missouri. We got Arkansas and Oklahoma as well. Springfield MFI is a resource for you. It's a resource for your friends. It's a resource for your family. Whenever the time arises, and it will, there's going to come a time in everyone's life when we need help. And we'll either waste time suffering through it, or we're going to take action, make a choice, and make the best life possible. And when we come to that moment in time, Springfield MFI is there for you. It is your resource. So use it. Refer friends to it. Refer family to it. If you want to check us out, go to springfieldmfi.com. SpringfieldMFI for Marriage and Family Institute.com. A couple things also we have coming up for those that are married and need to rejuvenate, to rest up and excite. We have a Marriage Excitement Weekend coming up in September, September 26th and 27th at Elfindale Mansion. This is a smaller event compared to some of the large events we put on in the past, like down at the Chateau, where that would be 80 to 100 couples. This is only for about 12 couples, 12, 13 couples. So if you want to attend September 26th and 27th, it's Love Letters at Elfindale. What an incredible time. So you need to register early. Registration will be on the website at springfieldmfi.com. There'll be a poster there on the homepage. You can also call our front office at 882-6767 to register and get more details as well. So September 26th and 27th, mark your calendars. Get it reserved now for Love Letters at Elfindale. And then also, as a marketing director here, I was talking with one of the radio executives here from Meyer Communication and was showing what we were doing as far as our stats for this program, because this program is for you. And every week this program is edited and archived up to the website. And I said, do you realize we have nearly 500 playbacks per month? Between 400 and 500 playbacks per month of people that are listening to the show. And that's an incredible thing, because people are looking up information. They're listening to the shows over and over again. For those that want to help support this, we have sponsorships that are open right now. And so if you have a business or you have an idea, you know, I really want to help support this, we're more than happy to work with people to help support the efforts here. So if you have inquiries about how to sponsor the show or to become a sponsor with the life you've always wanted, give me a call. My name is Ken Boyce. I'm at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. You can also go to the web, springfieldmfi.com, and check out there how to become a radio sponsor. So one thing that we started this program for was to help build stronger marriages, stronger families, starting right here in Springfield. To lower the divorce rate, but to start here, locally, where we're at, and to go out from there. And that's what we're doing. So if you want to join us in that, give us a call, 882-6767. WK, how do we make this last? Because we all know that getting married is a very expensive proposition to begin with. You know, running a couple thousand dollars up to $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 for a wedding ceremony.
Yeah, it does. And then, the average wedding today is $40,000. Average cost of a wedding.
$40,000. I sell houses for less than that. Not just occasionally anymore. But
it can cost anywhere from a couple hundred dollars up to $100,000, whatever people want to spend.
Yeah.
But the average spend is $40,000.
What's the average cost for divorce?
About between $5,000 and
$10,000. And that's just for a...
That's really a non-contested divorce. That's everything working pretty smoothly.
But if you got assets and companies and things on top of that...
It's really complicated and really expensive.
But we don't get married to get divorced. So how do we give our marriage a chance of lasting 95% plus?
The best way to do that is to look at issues that you're going to address in your marriage, that you have to address in marriage, the first 7 years. The first 7 years of marriage are really the toughest for couples as they're going into marriage. And the best way to do this is to address these issues that you're going to confront anyway in the first 7 years of marriage outside of the crisis mode. Address issues while you're still feeling very favorable and very positive about the relationship. And learn skills. If you are needing skills, if you have deficits in skills as far as communication or handling money, to address these needs going into the marriage. Now, the best way to run a marathon is learn how to run one first. You don't just go out and run a marathon. You're not going to finish the marathon. If you do, you're going to kill yourself. If you just go out and run a marathon without training for it, or knowing what's expected, knowing how to do this. There are ways to run a marathon. Now, I'm not running a marathon because I know that I don't have the skills to do that at this point. Okay? And I think we need to understand that. We need to talk to somebody that's competent, somebody that's professional, somebody that understands marriage and family relationships. We need to talk to somebody, to work with somebody that can help bring out the issues that we need to address.
And not every counselor or psychologist is equal.
No, there are many counselors, many psychologists who are not trained in marriage and family issues.
You know, I think that's a big surprise to people, a lot of people.
It is a big surprise.
Because you assume a counselor just all-encompassing.
And it's not. It's not. There are many well-trained and very qualified professional counselors who are trained on individual issues. Depression, anxiety, obsessiveness, things that the person deals with individually. But they don't understand how to work with communication issues or conflict resolution issues. They don't know how to work with that.
Or family systems.
Or family systems. They do not have any concept of that because that was not part of their training as they went through and became credentialed.
So just like I'm going to a doctor, I want to make sure whatever I'm dealing with, the doctor is trained in that particular field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if I'm going to a mechanic, I want an engine mechanic, not a transmission mechanic, if I'm working with spark plugs or something else. I mean, we want someone that's competent in that area and to know to ask the questions, you know, is this your training? And who am I receiving advice from?
Yeah, yeah. And we need to ask those questions. What are your credentials? What is your training? If I'm coming to you for premarital counseling, and that's really what I advocate. All couples go through premarital counseling. Go to a qualified, competent professional who's trained in marriage and family issues and family systems. Somebody that understands what you're going to encounter in the first 7 years of your marriage relationship.
Yeah, but I don't want to be depressed before I get married. Isn't that just going to get depressed? Aren't you going to get down? I mean, getting into all these issues.
No, it's not a matter of finding out everything wrong with the relationship. In fact, it's uncovering and validating the strengths in the relationship, mm-hmm. how well you're communicating or resolving conflict, how you see the financial matters, or what about relationships with the extended families.
And a lot of times this is fun.
It's very fun. Yeah. Premarital counseling, it's fun, it's exciting, it's educational. That will put you on the fast track for a great life and successful marriage. It's great because you discover personality and temperament styles, the ways that you're alike and the ways that you're different. We'll talk about roles and responsibilities, spoken and unspoken expectations. It's those unspoken expectations that can sabotage us. You know, we just think that the other one knows what those expectations are, and we don't because we're not mind readers. Again, about handling money and communication and conflict resolution skills.
Sex.
And expected expressions of sexuality. Yeah. How are we going to be sexual with each other? And people say, well, that's pretty basic. You know? Can't be a whole lot to that. That's pretty basic. Well, so many people, depending on their past and depending on experience, have a hard time with sexuality and expressing themselves openly. And so this is an opportunity as you go to premarital counseling. And we offer premarital counseling at Springfield MFI, Marriage and Family Institute. It's a great time. Couples come in. It can go anywhere. If you've never been married with no children and you come in, it's usually about 6 to 8 sessions. Okay, average is probably 6. If you've been married previously and you have children from other relationships, then it usually takes longer time because there are other issues that are involved in step families and blended families. And there are issues that are involved with that aren't involved in first-time marriages.
Oh, those challenges are completely unique.
Yeah, and those need to be acknowledged and addressed as well. Have you, for instance, some of those issues are, how well have you healed from the previous relationships? I read a question that was written into a counselor yesterday. It said, I'm in the process of divorce, and I found a woman that I really want to date. Is it right to have sex with a woman while you're still married to a woman that you're going through a divorce with? Now, that's how discombobulated people can be. And, of course, the counselor says, A, number one, no. It takes a year post-divorce at the minimum to heal out of a marriage relationship that you've come out of before you even begin thinking about dating someone else, much less having sex with her.
First of all, what went wrong?
Yeah. And so what are the issues coming out of past relationships? How much healing has occurred? And where are the children with this?
So for someone who's been married before and divorced and has kids and extended family, how long generally would you recommend on something like that?
Probably a minimum of 12 sessions, 12 to 14, somewhere through there. Again, depending on, again, how well they've addressed certain issues themselves, how freely they're communicating with each other. You know, there's just a lot involved. But to address these things before you go into the marriage can give you a tremendous head start in being married.
Now, the national statistic is what, about 87% for anyone that completes premarital counseling will last?
Yeah.
And then, but what you found personally is well over 95%.
Yeah, well over 95% of those who have gone into premarital counseling and have finished premarital counseling have remained married. Tremendous boost, tremendous shot in the arm. Great head start on the marriage relationship. And I found that those in my practice, those who begin premarital counseling and dropped out, refused to address issues, and went ahead and got married, every single one of those situations, those cases, ended in divorce.
Mm. Not just turmoil, they divorced.
They divorced. So it is important because you're addressing issues in premarital counseling that you will address anyway. And do that in a time that is fun, exciting, it's educational, it's skill building, it's learning a lot about yourself and about each other, and there's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement in that.
And a lot of times, we love that person so much, sometimes the thing to do is not to get married if we truly love them. If we've seen a lot of these things, we've seen instances where people said, you know, this is probably the best thing for us not to get married.
You know, about 10 to 15% of couples that go into premarital counseling decide not to marry. And that's a choice that they make because of what is brought out and what they see. You know, people ask me, will you tell me to get married? Or will you tell me not to get married? And what I tell people is that as a counselor, I don't have any authority to tell you to get married. I don't have any authority to tell you not to get married. My role is to help bring up and bring out what's in your relationship and how to look at things realistically in ways that perhaps you can resolve those issues before you really get involved in them.
Mm.
Okay? And that's one of the great things about premarital counseling.
As we wrap the show up, one thing we have at Springfield MFI, we've actually put together a couple packages for premarital counseling. We talked about the cost of average marriage being about $40,000. Now, whether you spend $4,000, $40,000, or $100,000, that's a significant investment, not only in money, but also in time and relationship. And then looking down the road, to walk into a divorce where you're looking, you know, another $5,000 to break it apart, and again, with all the pain and suffering that goes on with that, how much would it cost to actually be able to say, you know, with 95% plus, to have those odds of saying, we're going to make it, and we've addressed these things, and these are things we're going to see down the road? Springfield MFI has a couple packages. One for those that have never been married. Instead of $800 for the seven sessions, we'll do $599. For $599 to have that success rate, is that worth it for your kids, for your grandkids? Make it a gift. Remember, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.